Hello, everyone. Welcome to Supernatural Junkies. I'm Super Alex.
I'm Dr. Kevin, and I am natural today.
I guess that means that I will be the junkie.
He is definitely got a lot of junk.
Wait a minute. I think there might be somebody else here.
Yeah, don't leave me off.
Who's that?
Who's that?
Who is that?
This is Dr. Dozier, and I'm lifting it up spiritually.
That's right.
He's pumping you up spiritually.
Yeah, pump you up.
We are here.
And we are...
The Supernatural Junkies.
Wondered how you could get your hands on some awesome Supernatural Junkies gear? Well, the answer to that is it's now available on redbubble.com. We have a shop on there for Supernatural Junkies, and there's t-shirts, leggings, sweatshirts, hoodies, even a shower curtain. So if you've always wanted to have a shower curtain with Dr. Kevin on it, you can just get one with just Dr. Kevin. We have our logo on there on everything. And we also have all of us as singles. You can get magnets, stickers, you name it. It's all available on our Redbubble shop. I will be posting a link to that in our show notes for the last few episodes and from this point forward. If you have any questions about anything, you want to contact us, you can do so at supernaturaljunkies@gmail.com. Thanks, guys.
Hello, hello. This is the Supernatural Junkies, sans la Alex. No Alex today. She said there were too many huge, massive brains in the podcast room today. We have quadruple docs today. We have Dr. Dennis. He's back in the house.
I am here. I'm still looking at my computer, so it's booting up. So.
And we have Dr. Dozier back in the house.
Good afternoon.
And we have our special guest, Dr. Kevin Stillwagon in the house today. And yeah, he's going to be blowing up our microphones today.
Hey, it's glad to be back with you guys. I really appreciate the opportunity to open some minds, shed some light.
Oh, my Lord.
Into some really dark corners.
Oh, my Lord. Are we going to get into it today? So when Kevin calls us and says, hey, we need to blow this up, we're like, really? We agree with you. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Dr. Dennis was blowing up my phone trying to say, hey, when can we do this? And so we haven't been on the air as much. We have been working out trying to get something called the Save Our Children Conference here in the Tampa Bay area. And you can actually find out about that by going to saveourchildren.ticketleap.com. And we have been working probably for 8 months to get it this far. But it is all about what is happening to our children. But that's something you can look up, and we're going to be talking a lot about. It's also why we're going to have so many special guests coming up on our podcast. We're going to have Kevin and Sam Sorbo that are going to be coming on.
That's awesome.
And we'll be getting quite a few other pastors, Pastor Lucas Miles. We have a couple other docs coming on. And so we'll surprise as we go along. But today, our resident doctor in the house that always comes in with all the research and has broken it down for us to be able to kind of digest this on the average level here. And we got Dr. Kevin Stillwagon. So Dennis, tell me why you were so hot to cover this one, brother.
Well, when I first came across this document, it was actually sent to me by one of my fellow parishioners at church, and he's retired military, and he thought that would find this interesting. And his tag was only in the free state of Florida, which is interesting because I think we are definitely pioneering this legislation that we're going to talk about today. And this is a petition for a writ of mandamus. I was pronounced correctly, right?
That's right.
And this is brought under the Article 5, Section 3B8 of the Florida Constitution and under Florida Rules of Appellate Procedure 9.030.
So what does that mean? Because that sounds like, you know, a lot of high
legal
jargon.
Basically, they're petitioning the court for a mandate to stop these vaccines.
What?
Right. Let me break it down just a little bit further. So it says that a mandamus can be used to compel official action that falls within an established legally permissible range if that official, which would be our governor and the attorney general, if they fail to act within the range and it's required for them to do so. So the petition is stating that this shot that was forced into people, many it was forced, this shot is a bioweapon. It is a weapon of destruction. And it is the governor's obligation and the attorney general's obligation to protect us from something like that happening. So they're calling for the governor to immediately ban the use of this product in Florida. And they're also calling for the attorney general to confiscate all vials.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is huge. No, everybody's talking about it.
So we had heard a little while back that one of the cases here in Florida, and I think you sent me some of the articles and basically some of the parts to this that were trying to say that this was a bioweapon.
Yes.
So is this kind of a piggyback on that as well? Or?
Yeah, well, it's a piggyback on the fact that it's a bioweapon, but I think the main crux of this is that the product was rolled out under fraudulent pretenses.
Amen.
In other words, they said that this product would protect people from becoming infected.
Yep.
And they said that it would stop the spread of infection.
Yep.
And they knew that those were absolute lies.
Yes.
And we've covered this on your show before. Basically, pure and simple, when you inject something into your body to make an antibody, that antibody is a serum antibody. It's inside of you. It cannot stop something from getting in. And it can't stop it from spreading either. It can only react to the infection when it happens. So the idea that they were trying to drill into people, and you know, Biden said it, Walensky said it, basically everyone that had any regulatory action in the whole thing, including Fauci, they all said this will protect you from getting infected. That was a lie. So it was done under false pretenses.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and they also don't they want them to confiscate the vials and also to investigate or analyze the contents of the vials.
Well, and you can see, remember, we go back to when this started, that the one of the first things that they did that allowed them to carry the narrative so far was to limit autopsies, right? And so to this day, that's part of what's going on. The second thing is it turned out to be the embalmers, the people at the funeral home, that were letting us know about some strange things that were happening here. So then we see this, you know, groundbreaking case here in Florida where they were actually using, you know, legitimate articles, legitimate research to show that this was a bioweapon, right? Mm-hmm. And so now we're seeing, you know, this piggyback onto that where now we're calling for some legal action. And I mean, all of us are shaking our heads going, you know, we did an episode called They Lied, right? And people died.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that was a little piggyback on some protests that were happening over, especially in England. And of course, because the full research is out, we know what this did and so on and so forth. And unfortunately, we're going to be paying for this for a long time. But when you look at this new legislation, again, probably making it possible in one of the states that's the most friendly to maybe something like this happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Florida is a really good test ground, and you know, the governor DeSantis would be a good subject for this, and see where this goes.
That's really going to test his mettle. We'll see where he's at.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we also have Joseph Latipo or Ladapo. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, to be honest with you. But he's if it's wrong, I can for sure get it.
Yeah.
But he has also come out, was one of the first people that cautioned about it. And then called for now the banning of it, pulling all of these things off, because like we covered in the last show with Kevin, how they were contaminated with DNA.
Exactly.
And explain that real quick, just for those people that didn't hear that one. How is it that DNA got to be a contaminant in these jabs?
Yeah. So, you know, when they did the trial, it was 40,000 people in the trial, and 20,000 people originally got injected with messenger RNA, and it was a pretty pure product. And the reason is because they used PCR technology. And basically how that works is, if you give a PCR machine a strand of genetic material, which is what messenger RNA is, it just makes more of it.
Right.
But it takes a long time, and it's really expensive to do that. So when they did the trial and, you know, published the results and everybody got all excited, you know, this is going to be the savior of humanity. They said, well, we got to make billions of vials of this stuff and ship it all across the world. And you can't do that with a PCR machine. So the way scientists do this is they create something in the laboratory that's called a DNA plasmid. It's basically a circular piece of DNA, and they're able to insert in that circular piece of DNA anything they want to, any coding that they want to. And so that's where they put the message to make the RNA that they're interested in. So now it's in the DNA. It's in this DNA plasmid. So they feed the DNA plasmid to E. coli bacteria. And they do that because E. coli bacteria will make lots and lots of copies of that DNA plasmid. They do it efficiently, and they do it perfectly. Because when biological things like bacteria copy DNA, they always check for mistakes.
Right.
They get it right every single time. It's perfect. So now you got all of these DNA plasmids. Well, then what they do is they use some chemicals and they extract the DNA. So now they got the DNA. Well, now they got to turn that DNA into RNA. Well, how do they do that? Well, they use this enzyme that is called RNA polymerase. And RNA polymerase, very simply, turns DNA into RNA. And now that's how they get the RNA. But here's the thing. DNA fragments are left over.
Right.
So they're supposed to purify that. They're supposed to pull those DNA fragments out of there. And in fact, you know, this technology has been used for a long time. And, you know, the European Union has rules on how much DNA contamination can be in a product like this. So does the United States. Those rules were broken.
Right.
They had way more DNA contamination in these things than was allowable. So, you know, that might not sound like a big deal, but it is a big deal. And the reason is because they put something else in that DNA plasmid. It was called a SV40 promoter gene. And an SV40 promoter gene is part of the simian virus 40 that was a contamination in polio vaccines years and years ago. You can all read about that if you want to. But anyway, they put that simian virus 40 promoter gene in there so that it could help promote the replication of this plasmid. Well, the problem is that SV40 promoter gene also can act as a chaperone.
Oh, boy.
And so it gets injected along with this lipid nanoparticle. So the lipid nanoparticle now that they're making has got the mRNA in it that they're interested in, and it's got DNA fragments, and it's got the simian 40 promoter gene, which can chaperone that those fragments of DNA directly into the nucleus.
Yes.
Well, then what can happen is that DNA can get integrated into your genome. If you got injected with this stuff, there are little segments of genetic material that are inside the nucleus called transposons. And transposons have the ability to clip your DNA and insert foreign DNA. They can do that. And so that's how these little contaminated fragments of DNA can get incorporated into your DNA. Well, what's the problem with that? Well, we know that when you do that to human DNA, that cell line, whatever it is, can become cancerous, and it will remain so in that cell line. It becomes cancerous. And so That's where we're starting to see some of these reports of terrible cancers coming from. And, you know, younger and younger people now are getting cancers that should be showing up in older age people. And they're showing up in younger people. We've got kids with glioblastomas. We've got young girls with cancers of the uterus. This should not be happening.
Well, you can see, folks, remember when you go back to the beginning, we were talking about putting mRNA as a genetic material. We were putting this into our body. We were told that this wouldn't go anywhere, right? But then we remember the lipid nanoparticles that went along with this. So it allowed it to go to places and pass through tissues. And of course, now we found about this chaperone here today as well. But we were told this was, first of all, only going to last for a very small period of time, right? It wouldn't actually have any ability to incorporate in our body. And then we found out, you know, that sometimes the codon at the end really wasn't there so that this would even replicate. Now we find about the chaperones here, and we found about the transposons that are getting this stuff, not just into the cell, but into the nucleus, where all of this stuff is really happening. This is the central core. It's like having a core corruption to your mainstream server here. And then when we put these, you know, again, we're programming a pathogen. Okay, your body is going to produce these pathogens. And then what do you think could happen? You mentioned all these turbo cancers and stuff. Explain to us how maybe this is associated with DNA corruption.
Well, you know, anytime you incorporate a foreign piece of DNA into human DNA, it turns genes on and it turns genes off. And so some of the genes that it's disrupting are called P53, which is nicknamed the guardian of the genome. So it's supposed to prevent things like this from happening. And so when that happens, then you start to get these turbo cancers that will appear because the P53 gene has been basically turned off. You see, it's the protector of the human genome. And another one is the BRCA gene, and that's associated with breast cancers in women. And so that gets affected as well. And these are two genes that can definitely be affected by genomic insertions that don't belong there.
Well, I mean, that's what cancer is, right, guys? It's a variant in the genetic code of this particular, you know, anatomy of the cell. And then because they proliferate, then we get this in our body and they literally can take over. So this is the same thing. You can see a contamination or a mutation that they purposely put in your body along with all the stuff to make it happen.
Right.
I mean, you start to see the scene of the crime.
Yeah, it is a scene of the crime. And another thing that people need to understand is that, you know, we have cancer cells in our body all the time.
That's right.
You have aberrant tissue growth all the time. And it's our T cells that are trained to be able to recognize this. And they deal with those cells and they will kill those cells. And so we also know that a direct result of these injections is the reduction in the numbers of those T cells, plus those T cells get retrained to focus on the wrong thing. What are they focusing on? They're focusing on what was injected into your body. In other words, they're getting your body to make billions and billions and billions of these foreign proteins that are called spike proteins. And you know, your immune system is being trained on foreign material like that. Well, if you've got an overabundance of those foreign proteins, then you're going to get an overabundance of T cells that are trained to look at that and look at that only. And so this is why people that continue to get these shots are now subject to all sorts of other communicable diseases.
Well, it's like Judy Mikovits was saying that with SV40 is like injecting AIDS. It's like creating AIDS through, because the immune system gets suppressed. And what did AIDS do? AIDS affected the T helper cells, right?
Right.
So you get immunodepressed. You can't fight off disease. And then you wonder why we're seeing all these cancers. Like you mentioned, we're having cancer show up in people that are, you know, 15 to 40 years old. You're seeing cancers, lung cancers, like increased by 20 to 30%. You know, we're having issues and I think we're going to continue to see this, unfortunately. And the one thing great about this writ of mandamus is that they're mentioning and they document all this in this writ. It's 74 pages. And they're going after the fact that they never tested this properly. First of all, the initial lie, and we mentioned this right on, it's not a vaccine.
No.
Right. They called it a vaccine, and it's not a vaccine.
That's
right. It's gene therapy.
Right.
And something that they've been experimenting with to go after cancer tissues initially, right? That's what they wanted to do with it. And then
allegedly.
Yeah. Well, we start to look at the big picture here, and now we start seeing that people's genomes are being affected.
That's
and it's killing off the population. You know, this is some dangerous stuff. And I really do hope that this document does make headway through the Supreme Court and they do stop and confiscate these products, because they are biological weapons.
Well, and think about this, guys. You know, we've talked about this from day one, you know, and we're so thankful for the doctors that have been standing up against this thing the whole time. But you have to sit down and shake your head at how many who didn't stand up, you know, breaking the Hippocratic Oath, right? And that's how it got here, because we're dealing with a situation where if they could pull this off, I don't believe they think they were going to get caught. Now, there's no doubt that this document proves that they have been caught.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Well, there's pretty good documentation.
They've been caught in lies. They've been caught in fraud.
Yeah.
And there's no question about it. I mean, it says right here, I'll just read you another thing that I highlighted in this writ of mandamus that's pretty powerful. And it says, it is well established that the FDA clinical trial for the COVID-19 injections were not designed to clinically or statistically demonstrate that the COVID-19 nanoparticle injections prevented infection, prevented transmission, or even protected against disease, hospitalizations, and death.
Wow.
Yeah. It was never designed to do that. The trial, listen, these trials are called safety and efficacy trials. And what does efficacious mean? It means it can create an antibody. It's effective at creating an antibody. You know, I got news for everybody listening. You could go out in your backyard and put some dirt in a vial and inject it with a needle. And if there are foreign proteins in there, and I guarantee you there are, you will get antibodies. And, you know, that's the whole lie that everybody is wrapped around, that you got to have these antibodies. That's where the protection is. No, That is not where the protection is. The protection is cellular. It's 100% cellular.
Wow.
You've got
the lie of the vaccine.
It's the whole lie.
What we've been saying for 30, 40 years now.
Yeah.
You
know, it's the whole lie.
I encourage everybody to go back and listen to Dr. Kevin Stillwagen, because he goes through natural immunity in a way that I haven't heard anybody cover. And he helps you to break down and see the lies within this. But he's exactly right. Once they get you to focus on this, but here we are, this was their whole, you know, sell pitch. This is going to give you somehow immunity, right?
Yeah.
And it does none of those things. It never did show anything. And so that means every part, nobody would take this if they thought it didn't do something. So when you say efficacious, you're saying it didn't work.
Well, it made antibodies, but it's making antibodies that are suboptimal and can end up hurting you. You know, I don't want to confuse people. I want people to understand that antibodies are a powerful thing, and they're a necessary part of what's called your adaptive immune response, but they have to be the right antibody. And the only way that you're ever going to get a proper antibody is by experiencing a natural infection.
That's right.
That invader, whatever it is, a toxin, a bacteria, a virus, whatever you want to call it, doesn't matter. It's got to come through that epithelial barrier in a natural way. And by doing so, your immune system gets trained to deal with and recognize all of it, the whole thing.
Yep.
And so what have we done with this mRNA shot? We've injected the message to make a little tiny piece of it. And that piece is the spike protein, which, as everybody knows by now, continuously gets changed.
Yeah.
It's mutated.
Yep.
That's why we have all of these different strains that they come up with crazy yes. names for, like Omicron and Kraken and, you know, whatever else.
Release the Kraken.
JN1. You know, these.
Don't forget X.
these scary names that they're trying to use to, you know, scare the daylights out of people so they run out and get another shot, which is not going to protect you.
Mm. So as we go in here, I'm like, wait a minute. We didn't get our verse of the day. Dennis was so distracted. He's usually like right
so
on that.
So I handed it off to Dr. Dozier.
Dr. Dozier, because you know, here we are in the middle of an incredible deception that we have this pandemic come in. They didn't even test this stuff.
No.
It didn't work. They told us all these lies about it. Mm. How does that make you feel, Dr. Dozier?
Well, number one, you feel betrayed because it's your country. And I know we're mainly talking about the mRNA and the vaccines. And I don't know if this would fit within the purview of the podcast or not, but I do have a question if someone can answer this. We know that when many of these people were being hospitalized, they were being placed on ventilators.
Mm.
And it seemed that from what I understood, as I researched things, I had a great number of people who went on ventilators
mm-hmm.
did not come out the way that they came in. And I do not mean better. And I am aware of this, that when you're using these ventilators, what you're doing is you're trying to give them the oxygen that they need. And so my question is, was the damaging effect of these ventilators due to them receiving too much oxygen? Because I know that that can damage the lungs. Was it too much oxygen?
Well, it was actually oxygen under pressure.
Okay.
That was the problem. And you know, this was money driven. And many people that went to the hospital were told to go home and we can't do anything for you, which was a lie, and come back when you can't breathe. And when they came back and they were having extreme difficulty breathing and their blood saturation oxygen levels were extremely low, then the method of choice that was mandated in these hospitals was to put them on a ventilator to intubate them and force oxygen into them, which, as we now know, turned out to be deadly. But the hospitals got reimbursed for doing that. They got a lot of extra money if they followed the mandate to put these people on intubation and also treat them with remdesivir. These were the methods of choice and the methods that the insurance companies were going to pay for.
Mm.
It was a money-driven thing.
Well, they're only going to treat with what they get paid for.
Right.
And that's what you have to understand. That. They were getting financial incentive from the government. If you gave a diagnosis, this. A diagnosis of COVID was worth like $13,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they got intubated, it was $40,000.
You remember the guy who was the director of the CDC at first? He was the one saying, you know, that the numbers were inflated, right? He was mm-hmm. the one saying that this has happened before and it's all money driven. In other words, there's reimbursements. He even said that happened with AIDS. Now, he didn't hang around very long.
Yeah.
Then we got Walensky right after that. But, you know, the first director was clearly letting some cats out of the bag, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what are some of the other, Dr. Dozier, what do you have for the verse for today, by the way?
Well, I want to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, because we're speaking of the body. And one of the things that we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 is that whomever destroys this temple, this body, will the Lord destroy. And then it goes on to tell us during the last portions of that particular passage, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor or glorify God in your bodies. And that's the verse you wanted.
But how do you feel why did that verse come to you because of what we're talking about?
Well, that verse came to me because, I mean, that also takes me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and when you get to verse 14, especially when it appears it's David and he's recalling creation. And he goes on to speak of the human body. And then the 14th verse, he says, I will praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous like your handiworks, and that my soul knows right well. And he brings out how when he was formed, God knew his parts before they were ever formed. And so that would speak of, that would refer to everything within you, your heart, your lung, your veins, your arteries, everything within you. And in this magnificent creation, God also made it to be able to heal itself. Even if we look at Israel in the wilderness, when you look at the dietary laws, there are people look at those and they go from a, as you might say, a self-righteous aspect or a law aspect. But what God was doing is he was also, you could say, he was their dietitian. He was letting them know what they could eat for their health, what they should eat for their health. And I know all things are good now and received with thanksgiving. But what I'm bringing out here is that the way that God made the body, he made the body to be sufficient of itself as it trusted and relied upon him. And there are things that we use, natural things, herbal things. And I'm one who really believe, and you know, this is me. I stand on this. When it comes to a lot of these drugs and prescriptions and pharmaceuticals, I believe that many of these things are, they really take the place of, you may say, a modern day sorcerer. Now, someone may be offended by that, but if you go into the that language, one of the words for sorcerer, the Greek word for sorcery, is the word pharmakeia or pharmakon. And that is where we get the word pharmacy or pharmacist or a druggist and his potion, the spell and his lot. And you look at these things and it may work for one thing, but then there are a plethora of side effects. And it seems like this was on a grander scale. And you're saying, okay, this is for this, but really, to be honest with you, there were no benefits. And it seems like the things that were beneficial, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, things like that were beneficial were not allowed to be used, mainly because there was no money to be made in them. And you know this from some of the physicians who, I know you mentioned physicians, there were some physicians who were not fearful and who were not silent, even though we did hear from some, but there were some who were not fearful, some who were not silent, some who were at very high heights and very notable worldwide, who stood up, but they were silenced. And in some ways, their entire careers were destroyed. I was just listening to one yesterday who, this man did such great things, and yet when he stood, his entire career was destroyed. So that is what I see. I brought that because what's happening, what you see happening there is you see the body being invaded. And then when we listen to things, if I might say, that came from the president of the United States, when he says, I'm running out of patience, to me, that was a red flag. Why are you running out of patience when it comes to me not taking a shot? Why are you being frustrated when I don't take a shot? And then when you begin to accuse the people who won't as the ones who are really the spreaders, why are these things happening? And so what I see here is, even though there were those who chose not to, there was a number of people who were deceived into doing it, and then a number of people who trusted. And unfortunately, the result was terrible. So I always go back to that. And when you leave, I'm going to end it. When you leave what God has laid out, I do believe we come out with unexpected results.
Well, think about it. When you've read that verse, what is God? God's giving us a threat here. He is telling you that if you harm the body, why? Because this is his image.
Right.
This is his family. This is his heritage. This is his posterity in the earth. And so this is God telling us, for us, standing up, okay, for rights of health, right? The Christians, and we're taught like as if our body's just a little box we live in. No, no, it contains, this is the temple. How can you have a really great spirit when the temple is being ransacked, right? And so God is telling us, Kevin,
I agree.
He appreciates you going around the country and sticking up for our temples.
Yeah.
And he's going along with this threat. He's behind you. If you don't listen to people like Kevin, right? He's telling you the people that are doing this, they're going to be in trouble with him.
They're in big trouble already. You know, listen, you were born with DNA, and that's God's fingerprint in you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes you who you are.
That's right.
And we should not be messing with that.
Yep.
Because it turns you into something else, something that God didn't intend for you to be, plain, pure, and simple.
Yes.
We should not be messing with DNA. And that's exactly what we're doing. And it's gonna eventually lead to destruction. Many people will die over this. I'm sorry to say. We just hit the tip of the iceberg.
Many people have.
You know, and you know, Dr. Dozier brought out a very, very important point. You know, the power that made the body can heal the body.
That's right.
And, you know, and he also mentioned that God told us what we should eat and what we shouldn't eat. Now, we should pay attention to that.
Amen.
Because if the body is given what it needs, which is good food, clean air, pure water, it will heal itself.
That's right.
Healing comes from within. It doesn't
That's right.
come from something that's external. Now, the food is external. I'll admit that, but it's a necessary thing that our bodies need to survive. We don't need pharmaceuticals. We're not sick because we lack pharmaceuticals.
Well, I tell you what, there was one other point when I'm getting back to. We're changing subjects, getting back to this document on page
Wait,
8.
Doc, were we segueing?
Yeah, well, no. We're straight.
No, that was, we'll continue to talk about that too. But this stuck out to me because not only if you think that if there was evil, preemptive evil intent to this shot, which I'm sorry I do, they actually, Pfizer's approval in August 23rd, 2021, in their biological license application, they left out, it says, missing information, vaccine effectiveness. They said the use in pregnancy and lactation, vaccine effectiveness, it's missing information. So not only did they go after the adults and force people and coerce people to get this shot, they went after the babies in the womb.
That's right.
Which, you know, I mean, doesn't surprise me because when we look at, what, 4,000 abortions a day in this country? You know, babies in a womb really don't mean anything to evil people. But when you see this, and it's the first time ever, I think, they've ever promoted a vaccine for a pregnant woman.
That's true.
You know, I mean, wait a minute. You don't drink, don't smoke, don't do this, don't do that, but go ahead, take this vaccine. Oh, it's a test. It's not, it's tested. It's okay.
No, it wasn't tested. It was not tested. The people that were in the trial were healthy. They were healthy people. They didn't test it on people that were immunocompromised. They didn't test it on children. They didn't test it on the elderly. They tested it on healthy people.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, as we've been forming this conference about saving our children, is it an interesting that they didn't test this on children? They didn't test this, like you said, on pregnant women, where the child is in the most vulnerable state of all. Now, we had this warning from God not to mess with the body, but when we were talking about this conference, we used Luke 17:2, and it says it would be better for them to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around their neck than to cause one of these little ones, one of these little children, to stumble. So God is for children because they're in his image. In fact, he says, unless we become as a little child, right? We don't even exactly inherit our full goodness of where God has taken us in heaven. So these are the things that we think about that God is for, and we've kind of abandoned that. What are some other neat things that you really tied into when you looked at this, how do you say that again? Mandamus.
The writ of mandamus, yeah.
Sounds like some new book in the Bible, mandamus.
Yeah, it's apocrypha. But also, and same, Karen Kingston, a lot of her material is in here too, because she's the one that had this passed and down by Naples, right? Was it down in Naples?
Yep.
So they had removed the vaccine down there in Florida, which started this whole ball rolling. But also Moderna also had missing information with when it comes to in pregnancy and lactation. There were some other stuff here scrolling down. Oh, yes. Well, remember when they approved Comirnaty, but Comirnaty was not. Remember the old bait and switch with the shell game that they played with the Pfizer? The Pfizer was under the EUA, but they approved their other product, Comirnaty, and Comirnaty was not available in the United States, but that's all right. We could use the Pfizer under EUA so they don't get sued.
Yeah, so that was a major problem that happened in the U.S. military. You know, it's a rule in the military that you cannot put a vaccine into one of our troops unless it's FDA approved. Mm-hmm. And so when Pfizer got its biological licensing agreement that Dr. Dennis just mentioned, that was in on August the 23rd of 2021, they were approved to make the product called Comirnaty. Mm. And according to Pfizer's own documents, they didn't start making Comirnaty until, wait for it, May of 2022.
Wow.
So for all that time, troops that were injected with a product that said Comirnaty on the label, it was falsely labeled. That was fraud. And whoever let that go through deserves to be shackled.
Yep.
I'm not kidding you. This is out and out fraud, fraudulent activity.
Hmm. No, you talked. We talked about that one podcast when you talk willful
misconduct. Yeah,
does not. So there is no negligence clause when you have willful misconduct, and I think that's what this documents willful misconduct all throughout it. Here's another thing here on page 22. There's about there not being informed consent. If you remember seeing those videos where there was no, usually with a vaccine in the insert, there's informed consent in the insert, right? And it tells you side effects and so forth. Well, the vaccine inserts for these products were blank. There was no informed consent. And we know as chiropractors that, you know, we have documentation in our offices that the patients get upon coming into the office, it is informed consent and tells them about what we do in our offices and whether or not, you know, there are certain things that could happen, you know, and so
forth.
There's
risks involved, right?
Sure, there's risk in everything, but there was no informed consent with this. So that, again, violated the Nuremberg Code.
It did.
Also.
It did violate the Nuremberg Code. And specifically, the FDA and the manufacturers of this product knew full well that the safety risks outweighed any clinical benefits of this product. They knew that going into this thing. And that's the willful misconduct that we're talking about here. But I just learned this recently, and this is very, very disturbing to me. And this was brought to light by a researcher named Sasha Latapova. Sasha Latapova. And if you don't know who she is, you should probably look into her a little bit. She discovered that under the emergency use authorization that was given by the federal government, they carved out a little niche called, let's see here, it's on the tip of my tongue. It had something to do with willful misconduct not playing a role. In other words, they could get away with willful misconduct. And it was, here's what it was called. It was called an emergency use countermeasure. An emergency.
Wow.
Yes, an emergency use countermeasure, which is a military term, and it basically gives them carte blanche. There's no willful misconduct penalties involved with this at all. None.
Mm.
That's pretty disturbing.
Well, and you can see the blind, right? Complete blind, you must take this.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what everybody is starting to see. And certainly we're seeing a lot of that happen. You know, I mentioned this to a couple of you guys, and I think you know you're aware. You saw the interview with, again, the Florida Surgeon General, Joseph Latapo, and he was interviewed by Tucker Carlson. And, you know, he goes through the whole thing, and mm-hmm. he believes it. these things, the jabs should be taken away, right? Banned.
Yep.
And then he takes his hand off and basically says, you know, I'm going to speak as a person. No, he's going to speak as a Christian. And he says, this is about exterminating the human race.
Yeah.
Now, why would he think that? Now, you look at this document. So I'm going to ask you guys, because you guys have looked at it a lot more. Why do you think educated people are looking at what we're seeing now? And why would they say something like that?
Well, this all started with the Club of Rome. And this was back in the 1970s, where the elite group, whoever they are, and I can tell you the elite group is the people that have all the money.
Yep.
They're the ones that are controlling this thing. You know, we think we're a free people. We're not.
No.
This is all a corporation.
Yep.
And, you know, the people that have the money, they're the ones that are in control. And they absolutely believe that there are too many people on the planet.
Yep.
And they want to do anything they can to reduce that population. And they'll do it any way they can. And they'll try to do it right in front of you and make it look like it's something that is helping humanity when it's actually doing the exact opposite. That's how they get away with this. It's all deceptive lies.
It really
is. And it's in the Bible that, you know, that there's going to be deception.
Yep.
And
this is another good thing. So we had Dr. Jose Bonilla at our conference when we were talking about, you know, the assault against our DNA. And so one of the conversations that we were having with him is he was saying that right now, America's somewhere only around the top 40 in the world for health.
Oh, yeah. We're
and
way
here,
down the list.
Here we are, the most advanced medical culture in the world, as far as what we can do. But why are our healthy people? No, we don't have them. You know, third world communist countries have better health than we have. Now, there's the proof in the pudding. That's why you can ask yourself, if we're wrong, why is it that we're doing so bad? Why is it that when we listen to our medical doctors, right? Why don't they have this plan that's actually working and making us healthier? The bottom line is it's the proof is in the pudding. This pudding is bad.
Toxic pudding.
It's toxic.
Soylent Green.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? You look at, and I don't care whether you look at, you know, look at the deaths. Look at how we did on COVID. I think we're only in the maybe close to around 30. And then you look at autism, you look at all these other things that are happening in the world today. It's very simple. Not everybody eats what we eat, breathes what we breathe. You know, we can't even know whether a food is genetically modified, right?
Yeah.
Right.
You know, it's interesting that you should bring up autism. I just saw a gentleman talking the other day about a community in Nepal, and they don't even know what autism is. And they're uptake of childhood vaccines is very, very low.
Right.
Almost none of their children get these shots called vaccines.
That's right.
And so there's a very high correlation between the toxins, they're called adjuvants, that are put in these childhood vaccines and their metals. Mm-hmm. Some of them are thimerosal, which is a mercury derivative. Some others are aluminum. And we know that these can cross the blood-brain barrier. We know that they can build up in the brain and they become toxic. Some children have the ability to metabolize these things out of their body and they're not affected. But some kids can't do that. And those are the ones that end up getting severe brain damage and problems from these shots called vaccines. So, you know, I'm calling for everybody to just put the brakes on anything called a vaccine. Don't put that into your body. You don't even know what's in there.
Yep.
And I keep saying this to people over and over again, every single time I make a talk, you have absolutely no idea what's in that vial unless you do mass spectrometry, analytical chromatography, and a genetic sequence on the vial immediately before they put it in you. You got no idea what's in you. And here's the problem. There are people walking around in our society right now that don't care.
They don't care.
They don't care. And they will make a statement like, I don't know what's in there. I don't care what's in there. I didn't know what was in my childhood vaccines. And I don't even know what the 11 secret spices in the Kentucky Fried Chicken are.
Mm.
That's their attitude. Yeah. This flippant attitude has got to end. There's something seriously wrong with our society when we just willingly go out and inject something into our children. And we don't even know what's in there.
Yeah, why don't you just go tell them to play in traffic or something?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I mean, you can see where we're going. We're all frustrated. But you can see that your Bible is clear. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that what we put in here, when we release what God has created, right? The bottom line is people are subscribing to this biblical view. They do it all over the world. We have really subscribed to pharmakeia.
Yeah, we have.
And it's the sin of witchcraft in the Bible. Now, there's no doubt there's some great medications out there, and not all of it is probably into the technical aspect of pharmakeia because it's a particular thing. But you can see the key that we've tried to say all along is that your Bible really teaches that the last most evil government in the world, their plan does not work if they don't get mandatory access to our bodies. And that's how you can see this correlation where technology is aimed at your body. It's aimed at the temple because that's where your spirit lives. And so that's where this connection, you know, comes in. And that's why we have to be able to understand our connection to our bodies. And if you don't take care of that temple, what happens to us, Dr. Dozier, if we don't take care of that temple?
If we don't take care of the temple, it will be destroyed.
That's right.
I can give you a true short story about this that took place over 30 years ago, referring to myself. You all know I lift weights. And of course, 30 years ago, I was stronger than I am today. And I was quite strong, quite powerful. And I'm just saying that to give you the picture. And
he's still strong.
And he's still good looking. Too.
I was out and I was playing basketball. My brother was living here then, and I was playing basketball. We were playing a game of 21. Got to 5, and all of a sudden, it's like my head started wobbling. I got a little dizzy. And I tried to blame it on what I was eating. I said, oh, that's because I ate a pork chop and I ate some ice cream. So just, and it was that. But I noticed this just kept happening. And I probably was around early, mid-30s. And I would get up 4, 5, 6 times a night, about every 45 minutes, to run to the restroom. And it was just a constant stream. I mean, a full stream, like, boom. And one morning, I just decided, because I thought about my father. My father lived for 53 years, and he passed away. Diabetic, didn't take care of himself, and it ended up damaging his heart, took him. And so I remember going in, and I decided, I went to the walk-in clinic, the doctor's walk-in clinic. And I go in, and I said, I want them to check me to see if I have diabetes. And so I went in, I got the cup, I went into the restroom, came out, and the doctor was quite blunt. And I was guy, but when you get what I got, it kind of like hit me real hard. He says, yep, you hit it on the head. That's exactly what it is. And I remember leaving there with tears in my eyes because I felt, you feel violated when something happens to you. And I was crying and I'm talking to God. I'll do that when I'm crying. I'm saying, God, how am I going to, I wasn't even pastoring then. I'm saying, God, how am I going to minister your word? And I got to put needles in my arm. If I put needles in my arm, I'm going to die. I'm not going to put needles in my arm. And so I went on. I said, wow, just stay healthy. I run. I was lifting weights, staying strong. And I got the machine to check the blood sugar, and it was never really going down. And so one day, and this went on for about a year or so. And then one day I just came to this conclusion. I said, well, maybe I'm going to live short like my dad. And that was a belief. And I was like, well, whatever God has for me to do, it'll happen in a short time. And I guess God just said, I believe I have to help my son out. Because what I'm about to tell you right now is true. I would not sit here and lie. I'd moved in Brandon by then, and I had a green caravan, and I was sitting in the caravan. And there used to be a show back in the day when Dennis was young. It was called My Mother the Car. Remember Dennis?
I remember that too.
And the guy had the car, and the lady over the radio would talk to him.
Yeah.
On the radio. She talked through the radio. But over the dashboard, I heard these words with my ears. These words came across, and it wasn't that lady, by the way. And it was just like this. If you take care of yourself, you will live. If you do not take care of yourself, you will surely die. I heard the words.
Amazing.
Wow.
I had a friend coming in from Oklahoma, tall, cowboy-like fella. And I picked him up from the airport. Because for me, it was like, this was something that I didn't want anybody to know that was happening to me.
Right.
And I pick him up from the airport. And the first thing he says to me as he speaks to me, he says, Dr. Dozier, I want to talk to you about your eating. This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And he gives me this book on proteins, fats, and carbohydrates. And I read the book because I'm interested in living. I'm like, oh my goodness. So I'm looking, and here's what I was doing. When I was thirsty, I was doing this drinking because I stayed thirsty. I love those cheap Czech sodas.
Oh, no.
I would drink about a case of them a day. Ooh. And I love the Snickers ice cream bars. And it'd be like 4 or 6 in a pack. And I could eat those in a day or two.
Your blood sugar wasn't
He's
going down.
He's working out like crazy. Yeah. And I'm, well, he could get away with it.
And,
yep.
And I believe if I wasn't working out, I'd be a dead man. Let me put it like that. But it was still, it started rising up, 250 and 300 and all of this here. I cut this stuff out. I didn't see where I started running. And I, you know, of course, if you lose some fat, you're going to lose some muscle too. And I dropped like about 25 pounds. I wasn't a fat guy, but I dropped 25 pounds. And my blood sugar went all the way down to like 75.
Wow.
Which is like normal.
Yeah.
And of course, blood pressure would line up into that too. And I was having like the 120 over 70 something, whatever. And I stuck with that. Yeah. I stayed with that. And I believe that no matter what anybody said, I believe God, what God told me was if I take care of myself, I would live. I changed my eating. I started helping other people in the same areas. I've seen people die who would not change it, not have to die, who would not change it. But I changed it. I had to change those things or else I would have been loaded up on the medicine. To make a long story short, I've never put a needle in my arm.
You're still here.
For insulin. I'm still here.
Still looking good.
I didn't, you know, I wasn't on all this other stuff, and they were getting ready to put me on. This is when I really said no. They were getting ready to put me on this medicine. Mm. As some of you may remember, it was called Vioxx.
And for some reason,
I just looked at it, and I said, no, I'm not doing this. I did not know. I didn't find out until later. I think it was causing people to have heart attacks
or
something. But this is what they were bringing towards me. Mm-hmm. And so I just wanted to share that because it is true. Many people say, yeah, that happened for you. But God is not respect of persons.
That's right.
God will give you wisdom. He's writing his word. And you don't have to hear him audibly like I honestly did at that time. But it is in his word. But we can push it to a point where we've torn everything apart. And now you expect something to work. But we need to be free. Preventative, even in our eating and exercise is very important. Take care of yourself with exercise.
So who was the brother that got in the car and gave you the book?
His name was Scott Stevens.
We got a modern day Scott Stevens here with Kevin Stillwagon. He is coming in to tell you that if you take care of yourself, you will live.
Yes.
I do want to make a couple of points. Well, going back to what you were saying earlier. About the vaccines and giving an example that, where was that? That was in, what country was that again?
Nepal.
We also know that in the Amish community, that they do not have any autism because they did not vaccinate. Right. And I've been preaching it for my whole chiropractic career that, you know, vaccines are not useful. And I don't want to, we don't want to come out and bash the medical society in this country. Okay. I have a lot of medical friends. They're great doctors. They're great at what they do and so forth. But unfortunately, I think the medical field is got some form of cognitive dissonance. I am going to use that phrase again when it comes to vaccines. And they feel that these vaccines are completely safe. We should not question them and so forth. And that's just starting off with the childhood vaccines. Now that when it came out, the COVID, the vaccine, oh, just take it for something that was not even tested properly. And I'm sorry, folks, everybody who thinks we still need to hear and call President Trump to the carpet for Operation Warp Speed.
Because that's right.
He's the one that initiated that. You know, we can sit there and Biden pushed it through when he got elected. But Trump was so proud, and he's still proud to this day, saying that vaccine saved people. Meanwhile, when you look at the numbers, it's killed many people.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. He's willfully blind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so is the other guy.
Mm. Well, it's even worse, and it's funny because on one of the shows, they were talking about all the people dying, and they just came out and said, well, that was the previous administration's fault. And what was surprising to me is that the interviewer like just took that as an answer. And I've been like, yeah, you know, it's true. Operation Warp Speed did kind of create something too quick with too little, you know, thought. And then somebody turned around and made it mandatory.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wonder who that was.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So we got culpability. And Here's the thing I think that my advice to you and really everybody is, and my grandfather said it, he said a pearl in the snout of a pig is still a pearl. So everything just is what it is. And it's the same thing about me. I could be the pig one day and the next day I'm running around with pearls. The truth is that we all make mistakes, but you know the true people because when they make a mistake, they own it.
They own it.
And see, we don't see any of that happening in either party. We don't see it. And so that's what I'm saying. We have to follow the blind leading the blind. And the truth is, if we're going to be free, the truth is what makes us free. The truth about yourself, the truth about your family, your friends, the truth about a candidate, a political candidate. And again, the truth about America. If we can embrace the truth, you know, that's where we need to go here.
Okay? I agree. Yeah, it's all about truth and freedom.
So I got to talk with Kevin's wife the other day, and she said she wanted to spend more time with him. And Kevin said he was on a mission.
Yeah.
Kevin, tell us about your mission.
Well, the mission for me is education, because I feel that if people actually understand where the true protection against infection resides, if they get that, then, you know, they're going to be enlightened. It's literally like a light coming on, and then the truth shines through, and then you gain the wisdom to never be fooled again. And believe me, they're going to try the same playbook. They're going to come up with another disease X or whatever they want to call it.
They're trying to do it with measles now.
Yeah, and they're going to convince you that if you come in contact with this thing, it'll kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And the only savior for you is going to be a shot called a vaccine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they do it. And again, and I got to drill this point home, the whole lie that people easily fall for is the production of antibodies. And that's what these shots do. They create antibodies. Now, don't get me wrong. Antibodies can be a very powerful, powerful thing. If a person is bitten by a rattlesnake, for example, you go to the hospital and you're going to get antibodies. It's anti-venom. It's the same thing. But where did they get those antibodies from? They got it from another animal that was bitten by the rattlesnake and developed perfect antibodies.
Amen.
Perfect antibodies against that venom. That's how that works. Rabies is the same thing. If you get bitten by a rabid animal, the method of choice is to put rabies antibodies in you, and it will save your life. But where did the rabies antibodies come from? They came from another animal that experienced a natural rabies infection and developed perfect antibodies.
Mm.
That's the difference. And Judy Mikovits will back me up on this. You can never, ever get perfect antibodies by injecting something into your body through God's protective epithelial barrier mechanism.
Absolutely.
You cannot get perfect antibodies. They will be suboptimal every time. And they will hurt you, not help you. I'm not kidding. This whole idea of injecting something into people's bodies to create antibodies that are somehow going to be protective does not work.
Well, and we believe that, and we believe in trusting in the Lord.
Yes.
And trusting in the Lord has a little bit to do with trusting in what he did when he made you. No, what he did when he made your body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And know you not that that body is his temple, and he is the only one who can cleanse his temple. Mm-hmm. You can't have somebody else come in and do it. So what I'm trying to tell you is the same thing. There's a lot of reasons to trust in the Lord, to trust in your body, because your body was given to you by God, and that body bears his image. And that's why he said, if you harm this body, what is he going to do to us, Doc?
He said, if you harm it, if you destroy it, God will destroy it.
And so they know that.
If you do something that brings this body to ruin, if you do something that's worthless and useless, then you're seen as worthless and useless, and then you will suffer the consequences for what you've done to this body.
And we have a society that is trying to seduce us into being partners in destroying our own bodies.
That's exactly right. And the easiest way to do it is to convince people to inject something into their body to create something that's going to protect them.
That's right.
That's how they do it.
Yep.
And it's an injection. It's violating God's protective mechanism.
That's
Look,
right.
When you eat or drink something that's not good for you, what happens? You get sick. You throw it up, right? That's God's protective mechanism. He doesn't want that stuff getting in your body.
That's right.
So mm-hmm. what are we convincing people to do? Oh, forget about that protective mechanism. Just go out and shoot it right in your veins.
Yeah. Well, we're also saying forget about God. Trust in us.
Yeah.
But the Bible says trust in the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to do as we move forward. When our government convinces us that there's God, that they are God, which is what communism too, this is when we have to fall off the bandwagon and say, no, there is a God and you're not him.
You're not him.
Yep.
And Amen so any last words, Kevin? We thank you so much for coming. I know you got to get to share some passion today.
Yeah, we covered a lot of ground today. This was a really good discussion.
And we appreciate you coming down here and sharing with us about this article. I know Dennis is still stewing, so I guess he's going to have
No, I just think that we'll keep an eye on this, and if we bring any updates, what happens with this rip.
I think Dr. Dennis has got some kind of podcast he's formulating down there. Maybe.
Yeah.
All Samson.
Right. If I might say before whoever prays out, a lot of times we hear, and this will be short, a lot of times, I'll say a number of times you will, hear something coming on either over the air on the podcast or television or whatever, even nowadays, even across the pulpit. And you'll get a disclaimer at the beginning.
Mm.
I want you to know that I have friends who are this. I have friends who are that. I have friends who are that. Or I'm in no way saying anything against this or saying anything against that.
Right.
The question is, why are you saying it?
Good question.
Okay. We love you. And we're not going to put a disclaimer out there about what we said. Because I know sometimes people can be offended. Jesus said offenses will come. But the purpose is not to bring offenses. The purpose is to awaken you. And we know that Jesus said those who are sick have need of a physician. But you need to make sure that when you're seeing a physician, you're seeing a physician and not someone who's trusting in pharmaceuticals that really are not medicines. You need to make sure that you know what's going in your body. And more importantly, trust God. Don't say, I trust God, and then run to another source.
Mm. That's right.
But trust God. He will provide your need according to your riches and glory. And then for the leaders, because something was mentioned, and I was thinking the same thing about how this started first with President Trump, who wanted to help people. And it was really a drastic era to push that, and then the next group making it mandatory, losing people in the military and this and any other. But I want to say to any leader who's been a part of that, be it you in the White House, you're formerly in the White House, you're a governor or whatever, just as with anyone else, if you really believe in God, then you should repent
for what
you've done to the people. And God will receive it. The word says that we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness.
That's right.
Which means that when you do ask him for forgiveness, when you do confess, you're going to acknowledge that what you did was error.
That's right.
And you can rely upon God to forgive you because he recognizes that in humans, there's no good things. That's why we trust him.
Mm.
But when he cleanses you, he'll purge you from making that same error. And then you ask him for boldness to make the right decisions, even about your personal life. Pastors as well, do not allow yourselves to be influenced by what the world is doing. But your first and primary responsibility is to yield to the Lord who is your Savior, and then to watch over his flock according to the way in which he has laid out for you to do it.
Yes.
And Kevin, thanks for watching out for us. And it's an honor, by the way. You are a brother now. You've come on the podcast so many times. We'll let you pray us out, brother.
Oh, it's my pleasure, man. It's my pleasure. God, we thank you for this opportunity to bring us all together, open our minds, open our ears, and open our hearts that we can receive this message. Amen.
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 You could tell he's not a Baptist. Definitely can't be a Pentecostal. Hey, folks, this is Dr. Kevin Cruz giving you another pump because guess what? The Supernatural Junkies are on Rumble. All you have to do is go to Rumble, go to search, and when you search for channels, you look for Supernatural Junkies, and all of our stuff is going to start popping up. It's great because you're going to be able to see the links. You'll get to see exactly why we are saying what we're saying. But most importantly, this is a great way to share with your family and your friends exactly why we are living in prophetic times and why we cannot give up access to our bodies.
Hey, folks, it's Dr. Dennis from Supernatural Junkies. I just want to talk to you today about Protandim. I've been taking Protandim for a few years, and you know what? I feel a difference. I am younger than my age. At least I think I am. Anyway, Protandim is a strong antioxidant producer in your body because what it does, it causes your body to increase its glutathione production. And glutathione, folks, is the strongest antioxidant your body has. So if you want to keep strong antioxidants in your body and be a healthier you, I suggest you use Protandim.